We have a wonderful mystery in front of us this morning, and it's summarized in a strange formula. It's not that complicated, really, but we need to study it because it has implications for our lives together. And here's the formula, or an equation, really. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Rather strange arithmetic, isn't it? Well, it's God's arithmetic. So let's see how it works. It works because, as Jesus states in our gospel lesson there, we are one in Christ and one with the Father. He prays that they will all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus and the Father are one, and his disciples and those who may believe may be one in us. Jesus plus the Father plus those who believe equal one. Yes, one. We are all one in the body of Christ. Just think, we are all one today in the body of Christ. One leader, one person in charge, Jesus Christ. Jesus knew something that we sometimes forget. We need someone in charge. We need to have someone to turn to. We need more than a committee, and Jesus knew that. The 12 disciples needed someone to be in charge. Someone had to be the leader, and he was the leader. There could not be one chosen successor to Jesus, because his message had to go forth. It had to go forth as a light into the darkness, as a gift in a world sorely lacking in love. But it was the message of Jesus, told in his words and in his story of his life, that had to go out into the world. And so 12 disciples, yes, 12 teachers, 12 messengers, 12 men, who after this evening and Friday would be cowering, hiding behind locked doors, fearing for their lives, silenced. I know the Church of Scotland and other churches has something about committees, but a committee can never win the hearts of people, can never inspire passion, can never lead as a light shining in the darkness. No, they needed to be one. They needed to support each other, and they needed to remind each other. When one falters, another is there to support. When one falls, another is there to stand in the breach and to pick up their fallen comrade. It's perhaps like the skydiver in the following story. 3,000 frightening feet above the ground, Soviet sports parachuted, Yuri Belenko realized he was in trouble. His main chute had malfunctioned, and his reserve chute barber pulled around the main, rendering them both useless. Kicking his feet to slow the natural spiral caused by the noisy whipping canopies above, Belenko yelled down to fellow jumpers on the ground. His jump buddies sprang immediately into action and grabbed a packing mat and sprinted towards the impact point. All the way down, Belenko yelled and tugged furiously at the static line in a vain attempt to clear the two tangled chutes. Below, his friend stretched the mat taught and waited. Valenko plummeted into the canvas at bone-crushing speed, ripping the tarp from the rescuers' hands and knocking them to the ground. When the dust cleared, Valenko lay gasping for breath and complaining of a sprained ankle. In addition to the injured leg, he suffered only a few bruises. His jump buddies were there for Valenko at the moment he needed them most. And this is a picture, friends, of what God wants people in the body of Christ to do for others in need. Together, the disciples gathered around the one and helped him. Today, we gather around the one, Jesus, and help him to spread the love he has for humankind. We celebrated a day in the church calendar on Thursday past, which is barely noticed. Yes, it was the ascension of Jesus. And at that time, according to Matthew's gospel, Jesus gave the disciples the Great Commission. Jesus came to them and spoke to them, saying, "All authority on earth has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." At the ascension, the disciples were given the commission to go. But Jesus also told them that they should wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to descend upon them, so that they might be filled with his presence to do the task that lay ahead. That power was given on Pentecost, which we celebrate next Sunday. Yes, we celebrate the coming of God's Spirit into the lives of the disciples. Next Sunday, we celebrate the birthday of the church. We celebrate the power given to the disciples to go, make disciples, to baptize in the name of the Trinity. Today, we are in a period of time that is somewhat confusing. Jesus has ascended. He is given the Great Commission, but the power to do the tasks that lay ahead has not been given. So the disciples go back to the upper room to wait, to think, to ponder, to pray, to trust, and to believe. And I think, too, we can use this time like the disciples. This Sunday is a good time for us to come to some clear thinking about the gospel message that Jesus is asking us to proclaim. It is time to ponder, to pray, to renew, to refresh, to examine again in a personal way what the gospel message means for us, what it means that Jesus is Lord of my life. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus gives us a brief outline of that message. He tells us in simple ways what the gospel message is all about. First, he says that he and God are one. There is unity in the Godhead. 1 + 1 = 1. Jesus was God's revealed will on earth. If we want to know about God, look to Jesus. If we want to know what God is like, how he's going to treat us, look to Jesus. It says elsewhere in John's Gospel, "For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him." God's will for this world is salvation. Yes, Jesus brought that salvation, brought that will to this earth. Jesus also says, "For the works which the Father has granted me to accomplish, these very works which I am doing, bear me witness that the Father has sent me." Jesus and God are one. The purpose is one: to save, to redeem a fallen world. But not only does Jesus say that he and the Father are one, but he tells the disciples that they and him are one. There is a togetherness, a unity, a harmony, a common cause between him and the disciples. There is a bond that links Jesus with his disciples, just as a bond of love links Jesus and his Father in heaven. A Christian publication once carried an article about a senior executive at one of the largest banks in New York. He told how he had risen to a place of prominence and influence. At first, he served as an office boy. Then one day, the president of the company called him aside and said, "I want you to come into my office and be with me each day." The young man replied, "But what could I do to help you, sir? I don't know anything about finance." "Never mind. You will learn what I want to teach you a lot faster if you just stay by my side and keep your eyes and ears open." "That was the most significant experience of my life," said the now famous banker. "Being with that wise man made me just like him. I began to do the things the way he did, and that accounts for what I am today." Now just think what we can accomplish in life. If we have the attitude that Jesus is standing by our elbow and we are following his directions, his advice, his guidance to go about our journey. There's a story some time ago of a dying man who made a strange request. On his deathbed, he said to his family, "Get me to the cup final when Chelsea are playing, no matter what." Well, come the May date, his son approached Wembley Stadium gate wearing a camera bag that contained his father's ashes. He was stopped by a guard who asked what was in the bag. "It's my dad," he replied. The guard looked puzzled but allowed the ashes inside. Family members said that anyone who knew his dad wouldn't be surprised by his request. He was a real Chelsea fan. That football fan was dedicated. Are we as dedicated to Jesus? Are we dedicated to have Jesus at our elbow through our lives? Jesus is telling us that we are one with him. There is a unity, a bond, a link that brings us into his presence. And that presence can, should, and does affect our lives so that we might become like Jesus. We might become his presence in this world to bring love, mercy, and compassion. Yes, Jesus wants to be at our elbow, giving us wisdom, the power, and making us a team with him as we journey through life. But we must be dedicated. We must come together in his house to keep that bond alive. Jesus wants to be our guide. Like a blind man following a guide whose elbow he has a hold of, we are to take a hold of the elbow of Christ and be guided in our love for him and in our love for those around us. There's a story about a mountain guide who lived in the mountains of Northern Wales. One day, two mountain climbers came to his cabin and asked if they could stay with him as they climbed the hills and mountains. The guide said yes and asked the men if they needed a guide. "There is no need," said the men. "We don't need a guide. We have a compass and we have our maps. That will bring us back here." "But," said the guide, "I know the mountain tracks like the back of my hand. I know where the dangerous pits are. I know where the tall cliffs are. I know how to guide you around them and through those difficult places." But the men just said again and again, "But all of that information is on the map. We can make it." Then the old guide smiled and said, "You may have the maps, but the mist and fog are not on the map." Yes, the gospel message that we are called upon to proclaim has been briefly outlined by Jesus. He reminds us that he and God are one, and he tells us that we and him are one. He is at our side. He is at our elbow, giving us the power of life and giving us the guidance as we journey through the mists of life. As we live and wait for the Pentecost experience next week, let us focus on the gospel message so that we might, when filled with the Spirit's power, proclaim the message, not only in words, but in our actions, in our lifestyle, in the power of the risen Lord in our lives. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1 in God's arithmetic. Jesus and God are one, and we and Jesus are one. Amen.